Welcome to the Christadelphian Classics podcast, brought to you by Wilderness Voice. Principles and Proverbs by Islip Collier. Part 2, Proverbs. Chapter 14, Service. We must never permit ourselves to reject or neglect a true principle merely because it has been abused. Neither must we be impatient with the one who tries to assess true values merely because so many self-seekers has dishonestly used the idea for their own ends. The word service has been grossly abused of recent years. "I serve" was the motto of an emperor who led his people into a disastrous war and then deserted them in the evil hour. Service has been the continual cry of businessmen whose real aim has been profits. And while it's undoubtedly true that service is the leading principle for success, even in the business world, it's certain that the best service has not been rendered by those who have most used the word. The wise man says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, and it tendeth only to penury." The truth of this saying is illustrated frequently on every plane of life. One who gives freely, whether of his possessions or of his energy, is supported and helped so that he has still more power to give, while the one who, with niggardly reluctance, seeks to conserve his resources, finds at last that there is a leakage which reduces him to penury, even though no one has gained by his loss. There is no inevitability about this process, however. A greedy man cannot work out a profitable scheme of carefully calculated generosity. He cannot render service with a stipulation for deferred but increased wages. If he makes any such attempt, he is apt to be treated as was the indolent man who tried to stage a fall into the rich man's coal cellar. A man who had accidentally so fallen had been generously compensated, but the indolent man, purposefully following suit, broke his leg and was put into prison for trying to steal coal. Service must be spontaneous in a desire to help or a desire to follow Christ. It may lead with the painful reality in the steps of the Master, or it may bring increase of power and opportunity with rich reward even now for the present life. If, however, service is rendered with the wrong motive, it will not be long sustained, and the reward of such insincere labour is neither here nor there. Solomon wrote approvingly of the man who is diligent in his business. "He shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men." This is surely true now in a greater degree than when the words were written. Businessmen are no longer despised by the aristocracy. Rather, does it seem that in these days, aristocrats desire to pose as businessmen. Captains of industry can stand in the presence of kings and speak with a freedom unknown in former times. It's only fair and just to admit that many such men have brought the law of service down to the material plane. The most successful have gone far beyond the need for money and possibly even beyond the love of it. They have been moved by a passion for doing something supremely well, so that the service they have rendered has been an end in itself. Often they offer an example to those who claim to work on a much higher plane. On every plane of thought and action, there are certain essential qualities of service which we may link with some of the words of the Proverbs. One of the most important is promptitude. "A small piece of bread, while a man still lives, serves him better than a well-stocked larder after he is dead." Solomon puts this thought very definitely. "Say not unto thy neighbour, go and come again, and tomorrow I'll give when thou hast it by thee." Procrastination has ever been the enemy of service. Delay detracts from the value of the work and may even render it useless. If, When we are in a position to give anything that will help our friends and neighbours, let us give at once while we have the will and they have the need. The world is full of tragedies caused by unnecessary delays. Men have died while those who could have saved them have argued as to the best way of doing it. Or it may be that those who are well equipped for giving help have died while making up their minds to begin. So in less serious issues and with all kinds of service, time is a prime factor. We must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. It is useless for young people to dream of the great service that they will render someday. It's far better to make a start immediately on something near at hand and within the scope of present powers, even if you have a great idea of real value but beyond the range of immediate possibilities. It's still practicable to start work at once. The principle of the limited objective comes to our aid in this. If we were unable with our present strength to establish a home for the aged and unfortunate, we could even today give cheer and help to a few who are near at hand. This may be regarded, if we will, as a first step in a much larger project, doing a little good and enlarging our knowledge at the same time. We cannot immediately write the great book which shall bring conviction and wisdom to all readers, but we may make the first step in the form of a preliminary essay which will be a good exercise for us and perhaps give a little help to a few of our fellows. Thus, with a series of limited steps, we may accomplish something even now without any surrender of our great ideal of service, but rather making it more practicable. The great work of philanthropy or of reason may never be realized, but we shall have accomplished something better than idle dreams. Men have sometimes gone through life without ever rendering any real service, their failure being due not to a lack of right desires, but to an inflated idea that their life work should be. If they had applied the principle of the limited objective, they would have ensured that something would be done, although perhaps far less than their ambitious projects. Another essential of service is a willingness to wait for the results. We might think that with the passage already quoted, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth," or we might call to mind words from the book of Ecclesiastes, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not which shall prosper, this or that, or whether both shall be alike good." This is true in agriculture, as every gardener knows. It's also true on a higher plane. We sow seed by our words and actions, morning and evening, and we do not know what the effect will be. It's hardly possible, however, for a human being to live without having any influence on his contemporaries. He either helps or hinders them. He either serves or he's a drag on the wheel. Sometimes the best service a man can possibly render is in the influence of a good example. The possibility of rendering service even in the ordinary amenities of life is beautifully expressed in that well-known passage, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend," Proverbs 27 verse 17. This suggests that even those of equal knowledge and ability can sharpen each other. It's not necessary to have a qualified teacher to enable us to learn. A man's ideas are right in his own eyes, but his neighbour cometh and searcheth him. The neighbour may not be of equal calibre with the one he so searches, and yet his criticism may be of great value. The original idea may need a good deal of modification to make it sound, and the explanatory words may need much clarifying to make them fully intelligible. We may often be surprised at the failure of our friends to appreciate a good thought or to understand language which seemed perfectly clear to us. If we are to render service, our thoughts must be such as can be appreciated, and our language must be easy to understand. A very humble critic may serve us well by misunderstanding us if he tells us of his difficulties. Solomon goes further than this in suggesting possibilities for personal service. He says, "Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." To one of wide experience, this might be taken to imply that there are very few wise men. Even with a little wisdom, however, we may take the lesson to heart and become wiser. It's unquestionably true that the man who shows us where we can improve serves us better than the one who gives indiscriminate praise. So even a rebuke may be a gesture of love, evoking the gratitude of a truly wise man. What a difference it would make to life if all people were moved by the ideal of service as it is expressed in the book of Proverbs. To build the house and not pull it down. To be diligent and not slothful. And to be ready to take the humble place rather than seek the best seat. Proverbs 25, verse 6 and 7. Beyond this is the very Christian idea of readiness to give, even when the natural instinct would be to withhold. If thine enemy hunger, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Proverbs 27, verse 21. There are a few such servants of God in the earth even now, seeking to serve and not to shine, ready for any good work, however unpleasant, and never anxious to take the post of prominence. They are the type of men to whom the king will say, "Come up hither."